Middle school. It's an interesting time. Might not be the first stage of my life that would readily come to mind when I think of studying peace. Like many of you, maybe, hopefully, I was awkward, a bit angsty, a lot dramatic, and probably even a little bit weird when I was 12 to 14 years old. And overall, I would say that I would call my middle school years at Manor Middle School that they were good. I have no idea what my parents would say. Might not be that, but we'll let them talk about that on another day. One thing I do know, though, is that it was a time where I did get to learn a lot, both academically learning about algebra and science and all of the different things that you cover in middle school, but I also learned a lot socially and about interacting with other people during that time. One of the learning opportunities that was afforded to me was a time that came about when I was asked to serve as what was called a peer helper. And peer helpers at that time were trained in the basics of conflict resolution. And this means that I got to occasionally serve my peers by stepping in when conflict arose and helping interact with a conflict resolution process that led to greater peace. And sometimes this was between friends who had had a falling out, and at other times this occurred between people who would have seen each other or called each other enemies, or maybe me an enemy even. But almost always, after engaging in this process of peer helping or basic conflict resolution, the outcome was greater peace for everyone involved. So peace, what is it? It's a very, very commonly used word. We say it, we greet with it, we bid farewell with it, we pray for it. Walt Whitman said, peace is always beautiful. Vincent van Gogh said that there is peace in the storm. And Mother Teresa said that peace begins with a smile. There's a lot to be said about peace, and a lot of humans have tried to describe it, tried to define it, and some authors have even said that if you read their book, you will capture it, guaranteed, in six simple steps upon reading. But really, I would dare say that most, if not all, of these definitions and attempts at defining peace fall short. Peace is something said so often in so many contexts, and so many different meanings fall behind it. In fact, in the Bible alone, depending on what translation you're working through, peace is actually used somewhere between 420 and 440 times throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he lists peace third on the list of the fruit of the spirits in Galatians. So we know that peace is an important part of growing in Christ-likeness. Peace is something to be sought after, that's for sure. And really, who doesn't desire peace? Who doesn't want peace? But though so many of us seek it, peace evades a lot of us. Peace is important. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord." Some even say that peace can be the single word used to summarize the entire gospel. It's important, but what is it? What really is peace? Is it the absence of violence, the end of war maybe? Specifically as Christ followers, what is peace for us? Peace is glaringly important. It's essential to every single one of us here today, watching today. Peace is important. And I, for one, know that I can very readily and vividly call upon memories from times in my life where I didn't have peace, where circumstances around me led me to feel that I did not have peace in my heart or in my mind. And I'd be willing to guess that most of you today could also call upon those memories too. Let's remember that the book of Galatians is a letter from Paul to the very divided people in Galatia, which was an area of great conflict and in need of some significant changes. Scholars Walvoord and Zuck, they summarize that Paul wrote this letter as an attempt to, quote, remedy a desperate situation to call early Christians back from Mosaic law into grace, from legalism into faith. It's an emphatic statement of salvation by faith apart from works. And it is as relevant today as it was when it was originally written. We also know that the fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of Christ-likeness through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible Knowledge Commentary, it says it very well. Simply, fruit is the life of Christ lived out in a Christian. Fruit is simply the life of Christ lived out in a Christian. Just as God the Father sent the Son, Jesus, he also sent the Spirit as a gift to every believer, not just some of us. He sent it to all of us. And we can readily accept the gift of God and be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in us and then through us. And when we do that, you'll begin to find fruit in your own heart so that you can share it with others. The work of the Holy Spirit in us and the work of the Holy Spirit through us, this is where you might say that the rubber meets the road. This is where we can let go of all of the things that rob us of peace, those peace blockers that we face. And let's be real and honest about this. We all face them. We all have things in our lives that block us from peace at some point or another. But with the work of the Holy Spirit, we can be able to let go of those barriers like worry, fear, the need to control, conflict. And when we let go of those things, rather we can pick up and hold on to the gift that is Christ-like peace. So first, as we dive in more deeply this morning on defining and experience peace, let's start by very boldly pointing out what peace is not. Peace is not the absence of conflict, adversity, or hardship in our lives. It's important to address this. It's important to accept this. Conflict, adversity, sorrow, grief, hardship, simply a part of life for all of us. There's a commonly held misconception that the Christian walk is one without hardship, and it's simply not true, and I think many of us here today could attest to that truth. So let's just start off by acknowledging peace is not the absence of hardship or adversity. Peace can be, and it is defined in more than one way, even when we look in the Bible. If we trace the word peace back through its history into Hebrew and Greek translations, we start to really get after better understanding what peace is more fully. In Hebrew, peace translates to shalom, and shalom is good. Shalom can be defined as an all-around well-being, the completeness, freedom from fear, soundness, and shalom is good. Shalom's actually really great. Shalom, however, it's not exactly the kind of peace that Paul was getting at. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, it's more. It's even greater. If we look at Greek, peace will translate to eirene. And this is a different kind of peace. It's the peace that transcends beyond our own understanding. It's the presence of God with us, and it comes only from God. Like love and joy that we've covered so far in the series, peace is a work of the Holy Spirit in us, and it need not be prey to the circumstances around us. And that is really important. Peace does not have to fall prey to whatever kind of craziness, sadness, chaos is going on in our life. Irene-style peace became pretty evident to me at one of the most strained, complicated, and confusing times in my life. My youngest daughter, Colby, she was entering into the first of four neurosurgeries that were going to be complicated and long. This was a six-hour procedure about to occur 6 weeks after her second birthday. She's nine now. And a lengthy recovery was going to be on the other side of this surgery. And I was absolutely, positively, 100% convinced our lives were forever going to be devastated. I was also almost positive that I wasn't going to make it out of this day and this moment with any peace, and I actually questioned that I might physically fight letting her go. And you can see I did, because that there is as she's rolling into the other side of those doors, which was the OR, where she was going to have that six-hour surgery. I did it. And I did so with a sense of calm and peace, by nothing other than the grace of God and his presence with us that day. Her medical journey, for those of you who know the Wolfpack, it was far from over that day. It was sort of just beginning. But what I do know is that his presence and the gift that is his peace with us has dominated, just dominated every single obstacle we have faced. And I don't have good words for it, because his peace has dominated in a way that I still don't fully understand, and I can't describe it in words. And that's Irene. Peace is God's promise to us. It's the direct result of our relationship with Christ. Peace is a gift from God. I'll say that again. It is a gift from God that is received when we are in communion with him. Through prayer, you can invite him into your heart, your soul, your mind, and if you're anything like me, into your everyday chaos. Invite him, Prince of Peace. Invite him to go before you and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, because the outcome is immeasurable. The outcome is beyond your own understanding. The outcome, that's what lets us let go of some of the barriers so that we can pick up and hold on to Christ-like peace. We can let go of worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. That's from Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Do not be anxious about anything. This is some pretty powerful words, straightforward words. Do not be anxious about anything, yet we all struggle with worry or anxiety at some point in our lives, especially right now, today, this year, last week. Worry's a real thing, and it's also a real barrier to peace in our hearts. And when we worry, it's really easy to feel like we are alone or without God. But really, when we worry or we're experiencing anxiety, God wants to meet you just where you are and work further peace in your heart. So if you find yourself there today, if that's where you're at, Jesus wants to meet you right where you are so that you can let go of whatever worry or anxieties you're holding on to, so that you can pick up Christ's peace in your own heart. We can let go of fear. Fear. The peace that comes from knowing God's promise and being in right relationship with him, it is an absolute gift. It's given to us. It's given to us by grace through faith as believers. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let me be transparent for a moment. There are many times I have felt fear, and I am pretty sure I'm going to feel it again. Fear can keep us safe when it's well-placed. It can alert us that something's wrong. But many times, fear comes from our own troubled hearts, from our own misguided and worldly ways of thinking and behaving, and fear can drive us to do some pretty crazy things. Fear is where we enter fight or flight. It's really important to turn your fears over to God. Lay them at the cross and pray, even when you don't have the words, because my friends, he knows the words, even when you don't. He knows. Pick up that gift of peace and let it reign in your heart. Let go of the fear. And here's a hard one to let go of. The need to control. This is a tough one for me. Anybody else out there with a type A personality? Anyone with me? Many of us just love to have things under control. We work tirelessly to get it all figured out, get the details just right, until we don't. Or even worse yet, when we can't get it all figured out, when we can't fix it. My coworkers, they laugh at me. I have this old paper calendar, and I get a new paper calendar every single January at the beginning of the year. And they chuckle, and I'm in on the secret. I know that they know it's my feeble, sad attempt to get control over my life when it feels crazy. All the details, and there's notes and strings and all sorts of things hanging out. And it's laughable. It's laughable because it's a very feeble attempt to get control. But really, if we aren't careful, our attempts to keep control can and absolutely will spin us right in the opposite direction, tired, restless, out of control. God's sovereignty, reign, power over all can free us. Romans 8:28 reminds us, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's Romans 8:28. Mark it, remember it. Not only is God in control and sovereign over all, we get to rest and know that he not only is in control, but he works things for our good according to his purpose. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be in control because he is. He knows every detail about your day to come. He knows every detail of what's in your heart and in your mind. We can let go of the need to control because our King works for the good and peace of all of us, for all believers. And conflict. We can let go of conflict. Conflict is inevitable. It's gonna happen. It's hard to imagine a world or a life without conflict. As a 12-year-old girl in middle school, I very quickly learned conflict is a part of life. And while I definitely preferred to serve as the peer helper, I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I too needed help at times to reconcile with my peers, my parents. Sometimes I needed help too. Conflict, it's tricky. It can hurt. It can make you mad. Conflict's hard. We all have that neighbor. We all have the strained family relationship. We have the other political party and so on. And this is as true today in our conflict-ridden world as it was for the Galatians. Jesus reminds us, though, we don't have to be troubled or afraid. Through Christ's work on the cross, every one of us can know peace, even as we march head-on into conflict. We're sinful people, but God made it right with us through the work of Christ on the cross. God is peace. God is peace. When we know God and we remain in right relationship with him, we can know and live in his peace. Remember, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. When we let go of the barriers to peace, we can cultivate a heart, a life that demonstrates Christ-like peace in our relationships with God, with ourselves and our own hearts, and with others. And it's right here that we can see what Paul was really getting after when he was talking and listing peace as a fruit of the Spirit. In this book, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit, Growing in Christ-likeness, and some of you may have this and following along with us on the series, the author says, but there is a kind of peace, and that is the peace that God calls us to work at in the way we live. God calls us to peace with others and to work for peace among Christians and indeed the wider world. This is by far the most frequent way that Paul uses the word, and it is almost certainly the kind of peace he particularly has in mind in the list of the fruit of the spirits in Galatians. Since God has made peace between himself and us at his own great cost through the death of Jesus on the cross, God now calls us to live in peace with one another as a way of living out the transforming power of the cross in our own practical lives. And don't miss that. God calls us to live in peace with one another as a way of living out the transforming power of the cross in our own practical lives. But that doesn't come natural for us in our fallen sinfulness and dividedness. It is something that has to be cultivated like fruit, the fruit that God's Spirit at work within us and between us. That's why Paul can describe it as fruit and also tell us to make every effort to live in that way. In Romans 14, 19, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome of both Jewish and Gentile background. His instructions were simple in many ways. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. This was a culture and a city that was largely divided, very actually deeply divided, in disagreement on many issues of religion, practice, and really life, despite all being believers of Jesus. And as I say that sentence, deeply divided and in disagreement on many issues, despite all being believers of Jesus, wow, am I reminded of us today. Deeply divided and believers of Jesus. I'm reminded of our world right now, and I am deeply aware of how much Paul's words to the Galatians impact us today. The past year, it's been marked with things such as fear, scary, uncertain times. It's been conflict-filled. Let's take a look together. We can and we will continue to face uncertainty and conflict in our lives. It's one of the few things that we can be certain of. In today's world and culture, today's environment, we are so readily described by our differences and our divides, much like the times in Galatia when Paul wrote this letter. Republican, Democrat, masker, non-masker, boomer, millennial, believer, non-believer. We can be divided in the snap of a finger. So it is all the more important that we live it out, that we work, we put in the work towards peace in our own lives. We're not always going to agree with everyone. As Christians, as friends, as family members, disagreement, it's simply a part of life. But conflict doesn't mean that we cannot live in peace. We can disagree with one another and still live in acceptance and make every effort to live in peace. We can disagree without hatred. We can disagree and still love. Peacemaking. Through the process of peacemaking, we are able to intentionally seek resolution to the imminent conflict we're going to be exposed to in our relationships with our family and friends and really the greater world around us. Peacemaking's not all about agreement. Say that again. Peacemaking is not always about agreement. It is about successful and effective conflict resolution done in love. Jesus himself in Matthew 5:9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Wow. So yes, peacemaking is very important. Peacemaking is good. We must learn and be capable of living peacefully with all others. All others. And reality check, this does not mean to live peacefully with the people who agree with you and look like you and act like you and believe what you believe and behave like you, and you can fill in the blank. Just as we don't get to choose who we show Christ-like love to, we don't get to be choosy about whom we live in peace with. In fact, we should be known by our peace. Christians who know peace are charged to tell others about it so that they too can find peace in Christ. Just as we're called to go and tell all of the nations, we're also called to bring reconciliation, restoration, and ultimately peace to the world. Michael Frost writes in The Road to Missional, this is one of my favorite books. He writes, "We can barely imagine what a restoration of relationships between ourselves, God, and the earth could look like. But believing in it, we embrace our vocation to announce and demonstrate foretastes of what restoration might be like. Because we have peace with God, we are commissioned to demonstrate it to others by making peace with each other and the world." Peace with each other and the world. It's good stuff. Frost's words are clear. They're a clear reminder that as followers of Jesus, we are commissioned to demonstrate peace to the world. And that's an action-biased word, to demonstrate peace to the world. As I think about how I might demonstrate peace to those I interact with, I was reminded of some song lyrics from a 1955 song by Cy Miller and Jill Jackson, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me." My hunch is that many of you, like I have been as I prepared for this morning, have been reminded throughout our time together, maybe even distracted, by recognizing and confronting some barriers to your own experience of peace. And as Gabby and the team join us back on stage, I invite you to gather those thoughts, gather those things that are cluttering your mind and your heart and your soul, the things that make you feel out of control, the things that make you scared, the things that keep you up at night, the things that make you blazing mad. I invite you, I encourage you now in a coming moment of silence, and then we'll follow with closing prayer. Call out to Jesus. Name the barrier. Name the distraction from peace. And take this time to reflect and then invite the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you, so that you too might be a vessel of Christ's peace to others. Name it, lay it down, and be free. Let's have a moment. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are peace. Thank you that you are in control. Thank you that you are good. King Jesus, work in our hearts. Work in our hearts and meet us right where we are in this moment. Work through us so that we can be vessels of your love and your peace to all those that we encounter, Lord. Bless each person as they lay down their own barriers and distractions at the foot of your cross. Help each one of us to let go. Help each one of us to embrace you and your gift of peace. Holy Spirit, we invite you to work in us. Work through us. We thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.